Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Of everything, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. This morning, I'm going to be sharing very briefly with us, starting from 2 Kings chapter 1, and I'll just take 2-3 verses, and then I would teach on what I've titled The Divine Edge. Hallelujah. So let's read briefly from the scriptures. I was looking for it. I love that testimony my brother was sharing. It's scintillating. Go to verse 10. You must know those whom the Lord by mercy has granted you to be in their space, or vice versa. Those kind of relationships do not require so much fuel to run, because it's covenant. Hallelujah. Praise God. And now, it doesn't mean that the membership form of this church can only be picked up if you have a dream. It doesn't mean that. But we don't pick membership form in the dream. If there's a link with Pastor David, you just click the Google link and fill. But I'm just saying that this is the city of refuge. Hallelujah. You will not be ashamed. I thought your amen would be louder. Some people are looking at you, you are following God, you are following God. I say, I'm telling you now, you will not be ashamed. They are waiting for you to come back and say, all that your church, you went to church. You will not come back, because you will not be ashamed. Tell your neighbor, you won't be ashamed. Aya. Aha. If that's your testimony, shout hallelujah. You are never going to have a better yesterday. Anything you have achieved is you move on to greater achievement. Hallelujah. And God is committed to that. Hallelujah. Now, let's read from verse 10. Now, in this story, they wanted to arrest God's servant. And God, through this scripture, showed us the possibilities that can occur when you assault somebody who is anointed. The scripture says, touch not my anointed, and do my prophet no harm. Now, if you are God's anointed, please wave to me. If you are God's anointed. So, this man here, Elijah, was anointed of the Lord. And the Lord wanted to show us the possibilities that exist in the spirit realm when there is an assault against someone that is separated by God unto him. And say, my wife, give me verse 9. He said, let's do 9. The king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on top of a hill. And he spoke unto him, saying, thou man of God, the king had said, come down. So, verse 10. Elijah said, he answered, this one you have called me a man of God. Let us test it. If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Verse 11. Again also he sent unto him another captain with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hear the king. I am not afraid of what the king has said, but I bring you a thus hear the Lord. I'm not afraid of what the doctor said, but I bring you a thus hear the Lord. The thus hear the Lord will cancel what the king has said. I've heard what the king said. But now here, thus hear the Lord. You will not see rain. You will not see the storms. But your valley shall be filled with water. that which they say is impossible, God will bring it to you cheaply. Thus hear the Lord's counsel, thus hears the king. One hundred and two men came with thus hear the king. They didn't live their life. But one man stood on a hill. I know what he said to me. I know what God said to me. I'm not moving from here. Your king said I should come. My king says your king should come here. He said, come down quickly. Now, it's not a matter of come down. You come down quickly. So we are not going to behave like the other guy. Arrest him. When you get there, don't let him talk. Arrest him. Verse 12. Elijah answered and said, if I be a man of God, I'm not sure. Since you say I should come down quickly, let fire come down from heaven. Now, I'm talking about liquid, raw fire. Sometimes when we read these things, you are almost tempted to think it's Old Testament. No. It's a time in this earth that this thing happened. This thing happened when people were alive on this earth. When raw fire came down. Who told you there's no fire ever? And let it consume you and your 50, and the fire of God, say the fire of God, it came down from heaven. God has fire. Tell your neighbor, God has fire. So touch not my anointed. And do my prophet what? And it consumed him and his 50. I tie to this message, the divine edge. There are possibilities in God. When God fights for his children, God fights dirty. We have known the patient God. We have known the loving God, but many of us have not met the warrior God. We have not met the warrior king. We seem to be satisfied with the fact that God is a loving God, is a patient God, but we've not met the warrior king. And because we have not met the warrior king, there are certain things we took and we kept quiet. We didn't respond because we didn't want them to say we are not Christian. One of the ways to show you a Christian is to show the warrior king. If the day that Moses got to Egypt and he said, thus hear the Lord, let my people go. And there was no evidence in his hand. There was no manifestation in his life. He would have been rearrested. You know, he was a wanted man. Your head will not be without oil. Your life will not be without evidence. It will be marked by evidence of the power of God. Whether you like it or not, there will be situations that will threaten you. They will come close to you. They want to see what you will say. They will threaten you. They will attempt to arrest you, to make a spiritual arrest. But there is a divine edge. A divine edge is something you use. It's like a barricade. You raise it around a particular item. It's like putting two pieces of corn in a glass bottle. Even if all the chickens in Maryland dance around that bottle, the bottle just be eating, whatever is in the bottle just be eating suya and be enjoying, be chopping life. They will do what they like, but they can't touch it. God's agenda for your life includes maximum protection. Hallelujah. It is God's will for you to be safe. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is God's will for you to be safe. And you must see it not just as something that is being said, but something God has prepared for you. Until it becomes your revelation, it doesn't become your portion. You must see it. You must embrace it. Praise God. There are certain unexplainable factors that can influence the progress of a man. And it's not just God. If you are spiritually weak, or if people feel they can touch you and get away with it, they will abuse you. I heard a lady say, she mentioned she was talking to her friend. She said, if you can't love him, fall in love with his money. They were talking. The lady was saying she's not happy in the marriage. But the guy is a very rich guy. So the lady said, even if you can't fall in love with him, fall in love with what? His money. So that he'll be spending the money, travel the world. The man doesn't want the woman to work, just stay at home. The woman is bored. I said, I wish I was a woman. And somebody told me, don't go out. I watch Netflix, enjoy myself, sleep. Be looking very fresh. Like fresh yo-yo. Some of us are like that. So I don't blame you if you tell me you don't want to work. Because even me, I want someone to tell me not to work. But the lady was angry. Yeah. There are certain things that can happen to you in your life that are threatening you. They are unexplainable factors that can account for a man's progress in his destiny. And not all of them have to do with God. Such factors are invincible to mortal eyes, but visible to men of spiritual stature. We call it the point of resistance and the point of support. What can be a source of resistance to me can be the element of support for you. That means the level at which I am resisted and I cannot break from low junior officer level to mid management may be the same reason why I will be lifted and promoted. But you will never know. Because nobody knows where HR is. They only see their meals. You don't see HR now. You only see their meals. There's a sense in which you just feel everybody in HR is against you. Who knows that feeling? Because you may send them a mail line, they don't even respond. They just use one line. They don't talk, they are very lazy. They don't use one word to respond. Please, we have responded to this earlier. Refer to previous mail. Which previous mail? And you don't even read, you delete everything. Somebody understands that. You just delete the thing because you are expecting more important mails. You need the divine edge in your life to gain advantage in life. There are certain things that do not answer to age. They answer to a divine edge. When you have divine support in your life, when God is giving you backup, you go into a place, they may ask others to go out, they ask you to come in. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. I remember I had a client. I met him then. He was a chief. He's a chief in Warriland. A very big chief. But I didn't know him. He worked in Chevron or Mobil. So he came to my office to close his account. And then we started talking. And he was so insistent. I don't need this account. Your bank is not on top of their game. Blah, 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 blah. He came himself. He didn't send his staff. So I didn't waste his time. Close it now. Shut that account down. I said, sir, this account doesn't even have so much money. You can just, maybe you will still need it tomorrow. He's a young man. What's your name? If client is asking for a name, maybe he wants to call you MD. Then I told him my son name. He said, what? Really? Are you from Delta State? I said, no. I said, my father is from Delta State. Me, I'm Yoruba. He said, shook his head. He said, did your father attend? Then he mentioned the school. I said, he was part of the first set. He said, do you know so person? I said, that's my uncle. Say, you were classmate. Your father was a senior. Oh, y'all give me five. Back. Move 1 million to the account. And give me a commendation with my MD. MD wrote me letter. People came to me. You greet me. I say, divine edge. What was supposed to be would have been a problem for me. Because I would not have been able to manage that particular customer because he was a senior management staff in Chevron, became a point of what was supposed to be a point of resistance, became a point of support for me. And I got a personal letter, typed and signed by the MD of my bank. I prophesy. What has been a position and a posture of resistance for you? From today, we become a point of support. Yeah. Some of you are not doing anything badly. It's just that luck has not shined on you. Listen to me. I prophesy again. What looks like an impossible mountain to climb. You came here today and you are asking the Lord, Father, if you can do this thing in my life. You know that kind of problem where you don't know where to go. You just know that you want God to do it, but you can't even raise your faith because you don't know how that thing will happen. I prophesy. What has been marked before today as a point of resistance in your destiny, in your journey, today will become what will support you. Amen. That amen is weak. Oh. I said to become a point of support. It will become a point of support. It will become a point of support. You will step on every serpent. You will step on every roadblock. And you will march into new levels. In the name of Jesus. There may be 5 kings that have come against Israel. But with your praise, you will ride into the battle only to carry the victory. There is a divine edge. There is something that marks. Have you ever been? Do you know what I mean by having an edge? You walk into an interview and everybody seems to be so smart. I don't know if you've ever been in such interviews. This guy went to Northampton University, this Suzek, East London, all of that. You are the only one that went to Akungba. Or Federal Poly Ede. God's servant that spoke yesterday went to a polytechnic. But his achievement in the last 10 years. God's servant that came here last Sunday has a garment factory in India. I didn't say he's sewing clothes. I said he has a garment factory. Do you know what that means? Let me explain. See, your life is moving forward. Amen. The problem with you is that you have suffered so much. You've seen so much pain. You can't even imagine that you will be in a place where you won't need money. Because you have too much of it. You can't imagine it like you're actually in a place you can go out and eat anything you like. And you are not looking at the balance. You are not checking the alert to see the balance. God's servant has a factory in India. Because he heard the gospel, God spoke to him and said, build me storehouses. He went to India. They collect all the raw cotton from the farms, buy it from the farmers, put them into a machine with a particular, it's a computer, digitized machine. They program the cotton, the wool, and all of that. The machine will mix all the raw material and bring out fabric. Your Ankara, your suit material, it comes out in front. No, it's like being a creator. You collect all those items from the farm, dirty. The machine will wash it, wash the wool, wash the cotton, do everything, then mix it with chemicals and bring out fabric. It doesn't supply any of those things to Nigeria. Supplies them to Istanbul, to other countries, but yet it sits here. The Lord will give you a name that is beyond the shores of this country. It will have nothing to do with your age. It will be because the Lord has chosen you and he can trust you. It's called the divine edge. When you have the divine edge, you will be doing things that people will not be able to say. They won't be able to explain it. They will not be able to explain it. Very strange anointing hiding in that corner of the earth. He's not living in Lagos. He doesn't live in Abuja. He chose a very quiet life. Dresses the way he dresses, because if anybody in this country knows the kind of thing that goes through his life and his hands, he will become a target. Sometimes when you are too loud, it may be an evidence you are empty. Come on, say, I need the divine edge. The divine edge, there are so many edges in the scripture. There are so many edges in the scripture, but if you don't even need two. You just need one, Kenny. Yes, yes. You need one. And your life will be, it will begin to blow like, what? People who know you, they will just know that, well, Kenny is Egbo. Because what they are seeing in your life, even you know, it is the hand of God. You cannot even lay claim to it. I prophesy. that which has been known up to today as the reason why you could not move forward will be the reason why you will go leaps. The scales are off. The limits are off. In the name of Jesus. What changes are rising from this service? In the name of Jesus. There are those we refer to as sought after. You are one of them. You are sought after. In the name of Jesus. Do you believe it? Do you believe that's you? Now shout a big hallelujah. Shout a big hallelujah. You register your conviction with praise. You register your conviction with gratitude. You register your conviction with a revelational praise. Shout a big hallelujah. I have seen under the same circumstance, under two people under the same roof, and one is moving at a particular pace. The other fellow sleeps on the same bed, yet cannot catch up. It is not proximity, it is revelation. Tell your neighbor, it's not proximity. We may be in the same household, but it's not proximity. It is revelation. And who you know, who you follow, the atmosphere where that person can affect you. I know people that were not doing well. They got married to a particular woman, boom, things started picking up. Have you not seen such people? Got married to a particular lady. I've seen a brother. He said he went somewhere. They told him, whatever you do, marry Vivian. Marry her. Beg her. Worship her. This girl, if you marry her, your destiny is made. The girl herself was just on the road buying popcorn. And she has no idea. I know a lady that used to be in this church. She will tell me that anytime she walks into a particular office, she doesn't know anybody. She sees she's waiting to see the whoever it is. She came, what's your name? So, take 50,000. Say, I don't know you. No, I just like you. Take 50. They say, economy is hard. 50,000. She goes from place to place trying to do her. She doesn't sell one thing. All those things she carries about, she doesn't sell one. But she comes back with 100,000. There's a divine edge. If you think this world is the way you are seeing it, you don't understand many things. So let me share with you a few edges. The divine edge is very important because it guarantees success where others fail. Are you with me? It guarantees success where others are licensed to fail. No smart, crooked person will thrive in this kingdom. Every kingdom has its own system of prosperity. That is what I'm sharing with you today. Your father is a king, and you are also a king, and you are a queen. There is nothing about your destiny that does not reek of greatness. There is nothing about your life that does not reek of greatness. There is nothing about your destiny that does not speak of abundance. Not because of who you are, but because of who your father is. When you know who your father is, and who he has also made you, nobody will look down on you again. You won't take it. Hallelujah. The first edge I want to share with you this morning is the edge of protection. Job chapter 1 and verse 10. The edge of protection. Job chapter 1 and verse 10. Hast thou not made an edge around him? This was Satan speaking here. Let me touch him. This guy is not, he doesn't love you. Have you not made an edge around him and about his house? And about all that he has on every side. I'm talking about divine insurance. That you can enter into a covenant of protection over your life, over your business, over your family, over your children. You just bring everything, including the goat in your house. It was the Lord that made the edge around Job. He said, "Hast thou not made?" Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Give me verse 11. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will cause you to your face. The edge of protection in the life of Job was activated by his relationship with God. There is a way you prioritize your life with God. There's a way you order your steps before him. You are not doing corporate followership of Christ. You have made a decision to follow Jesus. You know that the risks are high, that you may not live long, you may not survive. But you have made that decision that you are going to walk with Jesus all the rest of your life. And you are going to do it by faith. Job lived in a time when not too many people followed God. So many people did not. Do you know Job was actually older than Moses? Job lived before Moses. Job lived before when Moses wrote Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. That book of Job should be the first book in the Bible. So people didn't really have so much information about God. They just did what they knew. But there was a way you look at this guy's life, then look at Abraham. You don't really see so much difference. He was a man of altars, always raising altars to the Lord. The guy knew certain things about God. And because he took a posture, even before Abel, he took a posture to follow God. Even before Abraham, God noticed him. This one should not die. There are enemies all around. And God put a hedge of protection around him and his family, around his businesses, around his property, and around his two dogs. Job was a man of altars. And on every altar there are sacrifices. We are all saying the same prayers. It is the life of sacrifice that we live that makes us different. Some of us give our all. Some are still arguing about it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God gave his son before any of us ever thought we could follow him. If God gave us his best, he will not take anything less than the best. A life of sacrifice. A life of personal, deep relationship with God. You can sleep with her and get away with it, but you ask yourself, what about the covenant that is over my life? What about my destiny in God? That girl in your office, that brother in your office, you want to go that journey? You want to go that length? You want to go all that distance? When the matter crystallizes, that girl cannot stay with you one day and suffer with you. That brother, he's going to tell you it was just a casual thing. And that it's time to move on. The grass is always greener on the other side because you don't know his character. Having and making a personal decision to make your relationship with God work is one of the best decisions you can make for your life. So you build every other thing around your relationship with God. Not the other way around. It's a personal thing. The Bible is not hard. There are certain pillars. Once you get it, you are on the express. Job, at the edge of protection. Do you know what that means? That means even angels were not permitted to invade him without notice. That means if Job stayed in his house and refused to pray and slept that night, if the enemy fired 115 missiles, it's just like that dome in Israel. Do you know that dome in Israel? It will reflect and deflect everything back. The scripture says when we read of things like this, they are written as examples to us. When you see what is working for a man, stop shouting. Go and see what the man is doing. Pastor, I don't... Don't be that, Pastor, my business is not moving. Let's go to the place. Let's go to your shop. I went to the shop of one of the brothers. It's an Afar. around my house is a fashion. So if I have some of this very minor work, I just give it to him. And he's always playing music, very loud Islamic music. And I don't have a problem. It's your shop. You can knock yourself out. And I thought, okay, there's this general impression that if you are dealing with an alpha, you are dealing with a very truthful person. And after I gave him a pair of trousers, in short, the trousers was condemned immediately. He condemned it immediately. Then I asked myself, so why are you playing all this loud music? And it doesn't matter, you may be playing the domwen, it doesn't matter. Then I observed and I looked around the shop. The shop was very dirty. The guy was sewing people's clothes and eating at the same time. The guy was eating at the same time. Because that guy now is praying. Now that shop is burnt. The shop is burnt. So I asked him a question. I said, do you know how incompetent you are? He said, I'm sorry, sir. I said, that's the problem. We are trying to help you. You are saying sorry. So apologizing is a lazy man's approach to rebuke. When you do something wrong, you must embrace godly sorrow. Don't just say sorry. Sorry doesn't fix it. Because now you put me... He said he's sorry. I said, now, I came here. I gave this pair of trousers for about 4 weeks now. It was later Pastor said told me that, Pastor, you should have told me. I would have told you not to go there. That the native dress, attire that I gave to the brother, he condemned it. He didn't sew it. He condemned it. That he had to give the complete set to another brother. He couldn't wear it. Condemned. Listen to me. If you see what is working in the life of a man, ask questions, study the person. Now, I see the brother, he sews the dresses for those who still like to patronize him under the sun. Because the shop has been burnt. So he puts the machine outside on the main road, on the street. Why don't you go and ask those who are doing well and look at how neat the area is? Being clean is not a Christian thing. It's a human thing. Job had a system that worked for him. Job was so concerned about the status of everybody around him that he didn't want to gamble. So if they all went out, he would raise a sacrifice, an altar for each of his children because he didn't want anybody to break the edge. The edge of protection makes you untouchable. Let them plan. Let them plan behind you. Let them do whatever they want to do in that office. You are protected. It's the edge of protection. Number two. There's the edge of prosperity. Also in this scripture, you'll find that Satan alluded to the fact that one of the reasons why Job was a prosperous man was because God built an edge around him. And that edge made it possible for Job to make certain investment and he prospered. Because the moment he was protected, he was able to sow his seed, do his business without harm. And you need that in your business. You need that. It may not really be that you are not smart. It may just be that you are in a place that potentially is a conflict zone in the spirit realm. You may check into a hotel and maybe you've not even been praying. You check into a hotel and you just realize. And I'm not joking. There are people who walked into a particular hotel. Or they checked into a particular hotel, and I'm actually quoting somebody now. Checked into a particular hotel. He heard that a particular servant of God just checked out of that hotel. So he asked the receptionist, what room did that man of God sleep in? Then he moved into that room. He didn't take off his clothes. The way he wore his suit, he started rolling on the bed, rolled, slept, covered himself. He said they must not change the bed sheet. I'm telling you how contagious some things can be. He got back, he left the city, got back to his own city, and then he was going to preach. He said his eyes just opened spiritually. He started seeing spirit. He was not gifted in that way, but the man of God that moved out of that room was like that. So I seen the realm of spirit. Is your numbers raised? He said the guy, the prophet who wanted to run away because he gave the word. The moment the brother said, "You are right, sir, Papa, you are right," he threw the mic, he ran away because he couldn't believe that he was right. Some things are contagious. Prosperity can be contagious. There's an edge of prosperity that God gave around Job. The moment God placed the edge back around Job, the first thing we saw was that Job began to multiply again. Find the one God has given you. And if you can't find anyone, look for one. You need it. I have a particular friend and brother. He resigns his jobs anytime he feels like. If he just feels tired, he resigns. That money, you just type, send a mail. I'm not doing it again. He has done it with MTN, done it with several guys. At some point, I asked him, are you doomed? What's your problem? But this is the problem. If he resigns today, by next week, he'll get under one. I couldn't understand. Like, okay, how do you do this thing? As I'm talking to you, my friend read history, but he's the MD of an IT company in Lagos now. Is the edge. There is something God has built around your spirit. You need to discover that. Then build your life around that edge. It will bring every other thing to you. Is somebody listening to me this morning? It will be foolish of Job to be looking at Elijah. Job doesn't need to be like Elijah. Look for that. Do we see a consistent pattern in your life? Godly consistent pattern. Build that edge around that place. Don't go away from that place. Build your edge around that place. Then look at those who are there and anything they do, do it. Don't kid yourself. It's not by shouting revelation or rhema. You take responsibility. The edge of prosperity was built around Job, and it was easy for him to prosper in anything simply because God put a hedge of protection. So the edge of protection brought prosperity. Number three, the edge of honor. Please lift up your hands, your right hand. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, place honor over my life. Let the honor of heaven be over my life. Wherever I go, wherever I turn, over my life, over this ministry, over my life, over my career, over my children, over my spouse, let honor go with them. I'm not talking about a one-time thing. I'm talking about something that people associate with you anywhere you go. In Genesis chapter 20 and verse 3, Genesis chapter 20 and verse 3. Quickly. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man. For the woman who you have taken, she's a man's wife." Verse 4. But Abimelech had not yet come near her. And he said, "Lord, will thou also slay a righteous nation?" He's still speaking grammar. Verse 5. "Said he not unto me, she's my sister, and she, even she herself, says, is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands have I done this." Verse 6. And God said unto him, "Yes, I know thou hast done this in the integrity of thy heart, for I have also withheld thee from sinning against me." Who did God say the sin, what he would have done, is a sin against who? Against God, not even against Abraham. God took it personally. That's honor. When God takes the subject of your matter personally. Look at it. He said verse 7. "Now, therefore, restore the man, his wife, for what? He is a prophet." That's the edge of honor. In this story, who made a mistake? Abraham and who? Who did God punish? The king, Abimelech. But when God has marked you with honor, it's an edge of honor. You just walk into a place and the doors open. They say no to you, but now they say yes. That's your portion. You will never walk into any business meeting again and you will look stressed. You won't look like a hustler. It's not your covenant with God. You've got to understand this thing. It is. Forget about what is going on in Nigeria. That is your country. The economy of this kingdom. You are a king. You are not supposed to be stressed and sweating. Forget about it. Stop thinking like a Nigerian. That's the problem. He said the man you took his wife is a prophet. And I'm about to kill you. Oh yeah? If you know you don't, return his wife now. And you know what God did? He made Abimelech humble himself before Abraham. Abraham now prayed for him. Because God smote his family with affliction. Because he touched the wife of Abraham. That's what you call the edge of honor. Where people will tell you, don't go there. Don't go. Have you ever told you that in the office before? Don't go there. Leave Folakemi alone. She's MD's child. While I was working in one bank, I won't mention the name, somewhere around the Zeni Bank head office. There's a particular lady in this office. She's a relationship officer. She's a junior staff, like assistant banking officer. But she's a cousin. She's a niece to the MD of the bank. So she had an issue with her branch manager. And the branch manager issued her a query. The guy did not respond. Tell your neighbor levels. Now, that's wrong. That's wrong. But she did it because she knew who was at the top. The guy did not respond. She just called her uncle. I see what this man is doing. HR called the branch manager. It was God that saved that manager. He would have been fired. Because if that man had any disciplinary case before that day, they would bring it out. You don't understand. I said if the man had made a mistake before that day, before that they swept under the carpet, they will bring it out that day. So the master, I beg you, please take this girl out of my branch. She's the real manager here. Take her away. Take her away. Take her anywhere. Take her anywhere. The guy begged though. I will not take this insult. She didn't answer. There is an influence and an honor God will put over you as you are leaving this service this morning. You will not open your mouth to defend yourself again. I say you will not open your mouth to defend yourself again. It's called the edge of honor. It's an edge. You walk into a place and people just say, you're welcome, good morning. They treat you with respect. It's an edge. But when you look at the life of Abraham, what was the trigger that made that possible within the context of his reality? Abraham lived a life of faith. There is something about when a man follows God by faith. Not just in minor things, but in major aspects of his life. The Lord says to you, start this particular thing. And you start, and you may be struggling, but you are there. Leave your father's house. What Abraham left was not just his father's house, it was an inheritance. The all of the Chaldean in that period when Abraham lived was like the United States of today. It was the major economy of the world. Then God tells you, leave Lagos, move to Damaturu. Even me, Oluwagbenga, I will cry. God, I love you, but what's my offense? Go to Katsina. How many major churches do you know there? Then God said, my son, I've called you for end time revival. Go to Katsina. I say, God, amen. Let us be doing it. They will connect from Facebook. We have internet now. But God said to a man, arise, leave your father's house. Go to a land that will show you. Did he tell him where the land was? It's when you go, I will tell you. It takes foolishness to come into a certain level of faith. Foolishness. So when he became threatened on that journey, God had to show up. Everything on this in this particular story, he was still on the journey towards where God was asking him to go. When you see the way God defends some people, check for their instructions. Don't just be saying, I have the edge of honor. Go and check. Maybe you are already off tangent. Maybe everything you have done in the last 7 years was your own idea and God was not involved. Maybe you are one of those people that have just planned your life. I'll do this, then you bring it to God. Yeah, stamp, waste stamp, seal, seal, bring stamp pad, bam, bam. If you want this kind of honor, you must live a life of faith. A life that is built on instruction, a life that is built on revelation, a life that is built on your faith in Jesus Christ. That you look at all the major bus stops in your life, they are all built around certain instructions. Come on, say, I hear you. Don't just love what you are, the result you are seeing. Don't just love the anointing you are seeing. Ask yourself, how did this anointing come out? I'll just paraphrase this. I won't give you any details. So, you know, I was on the phone with somebody. The person was like, would you like to come to this particular city? I said, no. He said, please come, oh, we need you here. I said, I get that a lot. He said, you have to come. He said, I have a land I'm giving you if you come. Land. You want to rent anywhere. We'll give you land. You start. I said, I'm coming now. We laughed about it and I dropped the phone. Is the price. Can you live a life of faith? Can you turn your back on a guy simply because God said so? Not because there's anything wrong with him. Is somebody hearing me now? You turn your back on somebody, you turn your back on a particular trip or an opportunity simply because God said so. Not because there's anything wrong with it. Then you are ready for honor. Let me just stop here. I'll give you one more. The edge of intercession. The edge of intercession. All these things are things you can press into. Just get one or two of them and follow those who got into it. You get the same result. God did not want us to gamble about how to get into some of this. He gave us stories of people. Go on, take these stories, this scripture, read the entire story and see what we are talking about. Luke chapter 21 and verse 32. Quickly. Luke 21. Oh my God, my time is up. Luke 21, 32. And the Lord said, look for that scripture, Pastor David, where Jesus said to Peter, Satan has sought to have you. Is it John 21 or Luke 21? Luke 22. Luke 22, 31. Quickly. Luke 22:31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Next verse. But I have prayed for you. The word pray there is the word intercede. I have interceded for you that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, what should you do? Strengthen your brethren. This edge comes by fervent intercession. Many people who have the edge of intercession are people who pray for others. Hello? People who pray. You come into this by proclamation or by intercession. If you're a particular brother or sister, no matter how long you pray, you still have a few names on your list and you pray for people. They don't even know you are praying for them. Just look at a few people on your contact list and you begin to pray for them. You pray the will of God over their life. You release the will of God over their destinies. You come into this one. Now, Peter, as far as the devil was concerned, was gone. By the time Satan decided to sift Peter like a wheat, Peter was not even aware. Satan does not need to take your permission to come after you. He will come after you. He will come after your family. He will come after your health. He will come after your job. You just wake up. Have you ever got into the office on Monday morning and his query that met you? And throughout that week, it was one problem to the other. And I'm telling you, sometimes I've had that issue in working in the office. 2 weeks back to back. All of a sudden, bam, the thing will just stop. 2 weeks, you won't be able to. You will bring your food from home. You will carry it back like that. Because when you see the problem in front of you, your destiny dare not eat. The edge of intercession. The only reason why Peter survived that attack was because Jesus prayed for him. Peter had no idea. And the prayer was not so much about Peter, you know, surviving it. It was about his faith not failing. Because the target of the enemy concerning that attack was his faith. That if the faith Peter has about how he's the Messiah, I will follow you till I die. If something happens to that resolve, do you know what I'm talking about? There's that thing in you that follows God in a particular way. If something happens to you or your mom or your that damages that thing to come back. People don't know that Hitler used to subscribe to Christianity. They don't know. Hitler didn't just become that demon. Our Emir Sanusi Lamido Sanusi is schooled in Lagos in a Christian school, in a Catholic school. But they couldn't change him. Intercession. The edge of intercession. Katlebosa, Ratasha. You mentioned that person's name. Intercession is not a one-day thing. You have a book of intercession. You want to be a prayer warrior? You will have a book of a diary. So-so person, Monday. So-so person, Tuesday. That's how you wish. You after you are done praying tongues for 1 hour, you will not stop. You'll be mentioning their names. Not, Father, I pray for all the believers all over the world. You are deceiving yourself. Which believer? Where are they? I pray for all believers all over. You now do your hand like this. So if I seize that hand, you mention, Father, Rolake, in the name of Jesus, come out of this slavery. You begin to blossom. You begin to speak prophetically. Ah! And that the next day you call Rolake, you say, why are you disturbing me? You go back again. Father, in the name of Jesus. You don't pray intercession by. Then you now type something on WhatsApp. You update your status. Bam. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. There's someone nice. Oh, lovely picture. Lovely picture. And I say, thanks, babe. That's where homosexuality started from. When people started calling themselves all these things. Men, women calling themselves. But it's okay. I don't care. I'm just on my way to heaven. On a lighter note. When you do real intercession, you don't play around. Kada, brasha, lagra. You don't. How many people do you see telling their intercessors now? You can't find them. It's not a profitable business, but there's an edge around it. Because everyone you pray, God may require you to pray for, God will not permit you to let them know. And they can't even pay you back. But the target of Satan was that his faith. You know, you can wake up like, I can't make it again. The moment you get to that point, it's over. It's over. So that feeling of, nothing. I can't make it again. That's what God wants to prevent you from. He doesn't want you to get there. If you get there, you are stranded forever. Zagalaba, Brushela, Peter, Ikada, Zeladaba, Eregalaba, Edebaza, Ifelagado, Uzebala, Edegalaba, Alabala. Peter, I've prayed for you. The one they did not pray for died. So that means what would have been the end point for Peter would not have been very far off from Judas. But that's the edge of intercession. Don't play with it. Everything I've mentioned here today, there is none of it that comes by talking. It comes by doing something. Come on, are you still here? Yes, there is one other one that I like, but I will leave it. It's called the edge of power. But leave it. I won't go there today. That's Elijah. If you are interested in any of these covenant provisions, I encourage you to take your Bibles or go back and listen to this message. Do some extra study and by faith register yourself in the school of divine edge. Register your family. How many of you believe you need the edge of protection here? If you live in Nigeria, you need the edge of protection. If you live in Nigeria and you don't preach divine protection, you are not a serious pastor. I'm not joking, because there are evils everywhere. Things happen on the road. Things happen on Third Mainland. Things happen. You need the edge of protection as you go out and as you come in. The roads are not safe. The roads were bad. Now the roads are being fixed and people are now overspeeding. So whichever way we are stranded. But your case is different. I said your case is different. In the name of Jesus, as you respond to these covenant provisions, you are coming into a season of honor. You are coming into a season of honor. Your life will be precious in the sight of God. That amen is weak. I say your life will be precious in the sight of God. I prophesy in the name of Jesus Christ, you are coming into a season of acceptance. You will have that edge. There will be that unique thing that will separate you from the lot. In the name of Jesus. If you believe, I want you to lift up your right hand and begin to magnify the Lord and thank him for this word you have heard. Go ahead and thank him. Go ahead and thank him. In Jesus' name.